Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Jonathan Kuplik. He's an ultra runner. In fact, he ran across America. That's 3,500 miles. It took him 100 days. He started off in Dana Point, California, and he ended at the National Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orrisville, New York. He's also the co-founder of Sebast. He started up this organization to kind of combat the confusion in the culture surrounding masculine identity. He ties that into it as ultra running. We're going to talk about this this long run with Jonathan Kuplik here on Blessed to Play. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'm thinking that you just didn't start off running mega miles when you were younger, but somehow you grew into this, this rare feat of becoming an ultra runner. Talk about how the progression to racking up these miles came to fruition in your life.
Yeah, Ron. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've loved moving. Always loved to move. Any kind of physical exercise, sports especially. But running is always something that I've loved. Running in the woods as a kid, you know, I used to imagine that I was some kind of deer or animal that could just run forever. And that kind of just escalated up through high school. Mostly running was for training, for soccer and for rugby. I never ran formally as a sport. Mm-hmm. But when I really got into ultra running, it was only 2.5 years ago. I was on a car ride. And I had no radio and no CDs, but a buddy of mine had lent me his phone, and he had a book downloaded on his phone, and it was David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me. And I listened to the story of Mr. Goggins, and I'd been running. I mean, I'd been wanting to run an ultra marathon since I was 20. I wrote on a piece of paper 10 things I want to do before I turn 30. One of them was run 100 miles, and I was about to turn 34. And I still hadn't done it. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was just afraid. I was afraid of what it would take. I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of the training. I was afraid of the unknown. And so as soon as I got back to town, I signed up for a 50-mile race that happened to be on my 34th birthday. Mm-hmm. And that was my first big race, and I haven't stopped since.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm thinking that there's a spiritual component to this, obviously, and we're going to get into that. But man's search for meaning, I think this was intertwined for your your inspiration to log these miles.
Yeah. You know, one of the big things is always looking for, at least for myself, I'm always trying to figure out, like most of us, like where are we going? What are we doing? I know we're made for more, and how do I get to that more in my life? What does God want for me? What is God's dream for my life? And I know the way I had been living, you know, we have these moments that these glimpses where we think we're getting there. And we also have a lot of moments when we're clearly not on that track. And I want to give God a chance. I really want to give him a chance. And this is something that I've been on my heart for a long time, and just looking for the more in life, the more mm-hmm. that he has made for me, and how can I use this to build up the kingdom here on earth. So I guess as far as meaning goes, yeah, I do derive so much meaning and peace and deep joy from doing these things.
Yeah. And I also would think with these long runs, obviously you're out there by yourself and you go through all these emotions and physically and spiritually during these runs. I mean, you get the runner's high, you're at the runner's low, you're hurting, you have so much time to reflect on life, on who you are and what you're doing. Those moments alone must be so inspirational for you to just connect with God, but also to connect with your own humanity as well.
Yeah, Ron, I mean, it's funny, you're right. It's a spectrum. You experience a full spectrum of of emotions during the course of these long days and hours where you're just moving. And sometimes it is joy. It's such an elation. You're out there in these beautiful parts of the world, the country, on these mountains, and you just can't believe how good God is and how inspired you feel. You're just so full of life and you're in gratitude. And then there are moments where it's just a grind and a slog and just to put one foot in front of the other. And yeah, it hurts. You don't want to be there. But I do love those moments. And there were so many of those on the Via Magna that I got very familiar with it. It gave me time to learn how to be in those moments and how to choose them. I mean, there are some sufferings in life that we can't choose. And there are some that we do choose. But even the ones that we can't choose that are thrust upon us, mm-hmm. we can still choose them. When it's happening, Lord, I choose this and I thank you for this. And that's when it becomes redemptive and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I definitely had a lot of time with that. And that's one of the great gifts that I received during the run, was that specifically.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Jonathan Kuplek. He's an ultra marathon runner. We're going to talk about his Via Magna, his run across America, 3,500 miles. Just average it out, 35 miles a day for 3 months, oftentimes not taking a shower. We're going to talk about the highs and lows of this run. All right, Jonathan, you start off in Dana Point, California, and I'll tell you, the surroundings there are just pristine and a great way to start. But 9 days into your run, you had some difficulties. Why don't you talk about starting off in such a great environment and then really getting into the run itself?
Yeah, Ron. I mean, starting off early morning, went for a swim in the Pacific, came out of the water, dried off, had some coffee and some food, and just stood there and said a prayer. And I just couldn't believe I'm about to take this first step. And you can't conceive of the end. It's too far. Mm-hmm. And so you just begin. And yeah, it was a hectic first couple of days. A lot of events. We had an event at someone's house. We went to TAC, Thomas Aquinas College. We had a talk at the Norbertine Abbey of St. Michael's as we were moving out. But by day 8 or 9, I was in such a deficit nutritionally. Mm-hmm. I was so tired, and I was definitely hurting big time. To the point where I didn't know if this was sustainable. Mm-hmm. I was kind of questioning. I wonder if I can continue doing this. And one day I woke up and I couldn't get out of bed. I was too tired. I wasn't able to eat enough food. Mm-hmm. My appetite was suppressed. So I normally eat a pretty high fat, high protein diet. I just wasn't hungry for meat or anything. And I called a guy that my wife knew. He happens to be a Catholic guy who's also run across the United States, which is just so random that she knew him. But I got his phone number. I called him. I said, man, is this just the way it is? Do I just need to deal with this and go? And he's like, listen, if you can stick it out through day 12, it'll change. Your body's going to adapt. Mm-hmm. Before that, it's just going to be bad. But know that there is a way out on the other side. So after he told me that, I'm like, all right, we just got to keep going. And it was hard, but I was able to make it through, and he was right. Adaptation took place and things started to get a little bit better.
Well, that's amazing. I wanted you to talk about just the different parts of the United States going through some of the toughest parts. You just talked about a struggle that you had, but there had to be also highs as well during this run. And you were giving so much of yourself. You're stopping to talk at different colleges, different groups. Plus you're running, 35 miles a day, extreme heat. I'm sure you experienced cold as well. Talk about that aspect of it, the beauty side of this run, seeing America as well.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it's when I think back on it now, I'm just still blown away about what a great gift that I was able to receive, that we were able to actually pull this off. And going through California, coming off the coast, but then entering into that giant desert between California and Phoenix, there's not a whole lot going on. Mm-hmm. And you're running at the end of the day, it looks like you haven't even moved, because perspective with everything around you hasn't shifted very far. Mm-hmm. So psychologically, that was difficult. But man, the sunrises and sunsets in the desert, beautiful. Moving up into New Mexico, out to Dallas. A lot of flat. It was great to get to Dallas. And we had tons of events in Dallas. So reconnecting with people, like, gives me a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Getting in front of people, talking to them, and it helps pull me through those big desolate stretches. You know, then there's coming up through Kansas and Oklahoma. We started getting a lot more events in the second half just because we were going through more populated areas. So you always had this kind of carrot on the stick in front of you about, oh, we have an event tonight. We have a group we're going to this evening. And that really helped a lot. And it was beautiful. So many places I'd never really been to. I'd never been to Tulsa. And I really like Tulsa, Oklahoma. Strange as that may sound, but, and it was kind of similar moving across the country up into Notre Dame and through mm-hmm. Ohio, Cleveland, Pennsylvania, went to Steubenville, mm-hmm. gave a talk to some guys at Steubenville. A bunch of them actually came out and ran the last 7 miles of my day with me after the talk. And it was good, Ron. That was great, great gift, the exploring.
Yeah, awesome experience for sure. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, we're chatting once again with Jonathan Kuplek. He's an ultra runner. He ran across America. We're talking about that run from Dana Point, California, to the National Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orrisville, New York. For you to do this, something had to inspire you to go through those tough moments when your body wants to give out, but something in your mind and your heart and your soul inspired you to do this. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted, when my friend Jeremy and I were talking about how we want to launch this, the run across America seemed to make sense because I'd just been breaking into the ultra running scene. But also I wanted to do something that was way outside of my depth and outside of my comfort zone, because I wanted it, first of all, to test me. I want to test the limits of my own heart. How far can we can go? So much further than we think we can. Anyone who does any sports, especially any ultra distance, cycling, running, that's a lesson they all know. Every human being, we can go so much further than we think we're capable, than we think we're capable of. And then you kind of start to think, how can I channel those lessons that I learned into other more important areas in my life? And I also wanted to do something that was inspiring. I wanted young guys or kids or anybody to see that. I wanted them to be inspired, because we're made to pursue greatness. We're made to be great saints. Mm-hmm. It's like that Pope from, that quote from Pope Benedict. You know, the world offers you comfort, but you're not made for comfort. You're made for greatness. And that is so true. And I believe that with my whole heart. And I don't think enough people believe that. But greatness requires risk. We have to get out of our comfort zone, and we have to trust the Lord, and we have to move forward with joy and with trust, even though we don't know exactly where this is going to go and how this is going to end. So those were kind of some of the main. And then the whole story of the 40 martyrs of Sebaste, these 40 men from the Roman legions, the Thundering Legion, who refused to pinch incense to Caesar and chose to freeze to death naked on a frozen lake rather than renounce Jesus Christ as their Lord. Hmm. Like, if those guys could do that, I can run across the United States.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to continue our discussion with Jonathan Kuplek. We'll talk about his organization called Sebaste when Blessed to Play returns.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Jonathan Kuplek. Quite a runner, folks. In fact, he's an ultra runner. He ran across America. He called it the Via Magna, from Dana Point, California, to the National Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orrisville, New York. And in the first half of the show, he told us what he experienced. He experienced all the emotions that you go through on a long run. His body almost gave out. He was at a calorie deficit, but he didn't shower for days, but he managed to persevere, and he made it. And before I get into Sebaste, I want to talk about you we're getting to the National Shrine of the North American Martyrs. Talk about the last part of that run, that last leg of that run leading up to the finish line at the Shrine.
Yeah, the last week, it was kind of surreal. I was going through the East Coast, so a lot more of my friends were joining me for runs. So people would come out and they'd join me for sections. I went through Kentucky. I was going through Cleveland, and my little brother is part of a boys' boarding school in Kentucky. They brought the whole student body up, and four of those kids ran the full 35 miles with me. And one of those kids had only ever run 5 miles in his entire life. So that was impressive. My brothers joined me in Front Royal, Virginia. They did a day with me. But then the 3 days before, leading up to the very end, I wanted to just be alone in that. Just been running for so long, it was hard to imagine this thing was about to stop, and just wanted to actually reflect and say, this is coming to a close, and Lord, what are you trying to say to me right now? So it was very surreal. It was very, in a way, I mean, you kind of wonder what's going to happen now. Like, this has been my life, and you feel like it's been like this forever, and you can't really imagine what a day would be like if you just weren't running 35 miles. So those are the kinds of thoughts I was having leading up to the end, and mm-hmm. also very excited to get to the Shrine.
I want to talk about Sebaste. And now, you co-founded this organization to combat confusion in our culture surrounding masculine identity. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, Ryan, I can give it a shot. It's a big question. You know, it actually originated because me and my friend, it sprung from a series of conversations that we would have with each other over the years and trying to help each other out and realizing there's so much fear and dysfunction and pride and all these things in our life that are holding us back, and we're actually latching onto the wrong things. I mean, in our attempt to become fully actualized, you know, we kind of went all in on, you know, if we're just working out all the time and we become physical specimens and we're eating clean and we're waking up early and we're going to mass and we're doing all the right things on paper, but something's missing. There's not the life that's promised isn't in it. And we realized at the end of the day, like, we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're doing all the things, we're checking the boxes, but that's what we're doing. We're just checking boxes. And relationships aren't it's not a box you check. And that really springboarded us into this and realizing that we're not the only ones. We're doing this in our mid 30s. Think of the guys in their late teens, early 20s, how much they're suffering from so much. And of course, way more than we were that age, because there's so much more information out there. You know, the culture that peddles one truth and two lies, mm-hmm. and the whole, like, the manaverse that's out there, all the voices on the internet. And we really want to try and help these guys see the truth that, yes, be strong. That's good. But we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing. And that's what we're doing out here right now with the 15 college men that we have out here this summer.
Let's play Ron Meyer. Once again, we're chatting with Jonathan Kuplek. He's the co-founder of Sebaste. He's also an ultra runner and ran across America. Now, during your run, you stopped at the University of Notre Dame, and I understand you met up with some members of your organization, some college students. Talk about that, and what is your message when you're talking to these groups?
Yeah, Ron, we did meet up with them. It was so great to see these guys. We've had guys from Notre Dame consistently over the past 5 years. So to see all those guys, and then they brought all their friends out. They all ran 10 to 15 miles with me for the day, and I'd never seen their campus. It's beautiful. So that was such a joy and a pleasure to be there. And when I see them, it's so many of these guys, even our own guys still. I mean, change can take place in an instant, but transformation is the work of a lifetime. And just because you come out and you have a powerful experience one summer, these guys go back to their environments. And just like all of us, we need to be constantly reminded, what is the most important thing? Why are we here, guys? what are we doing down here? And we seem to lose our way. So we talk like, what is the way of men for us in this world? Who are we made to be? And we can only do that when we understand when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a real deep relationship. That's where we get our identity from. And once we have our identity that's rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ, then we can go on mission. Then we can hear the mission, the calling he has on our heart. And then we can go out and hopefully he gives us the courage to go live that mission. But it starts with relationship, identity, and mission flows from that. So that's what I talk about most of the time with these guys.
Now, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a man who's listening to this show. And they're saying, you know, Jonathan, that's all great. I mean, you know, the side of giving myself to Christ and being on mission and all that. But I also have to incorporate myself into society. And society dictates that I'm supposed to be a certain way in order to function, even to make a living. What say you when you hear something like that?
Society dictates to be a certain way. Well, I don't know if I quite understand the question, Ron. I'm going to take a stab at it. If I'm going on the wrong track, please just step in on me. What I would tell the guys is, yeah, there are demands on your life in the world, but those if those demands are preventing you from entering into right relationship, from listening, from going into the silence and actually hearing that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you need to rethink where you are and what you're doing. You got to step out. We climb a lot of mountains out here. We were just camping in the Southern Rockies on the mountain in the Southern San Juans this past weekend. We're talking a lot about perspective. We got to get perspective on our lives, guys, and we got to get altitude. Let's look at it from 30,000 feet. And look at the Gospels. Christ was always doing this. Going up onto the mountains, these mountaintop experiences help us gain perspective to look down and see, what am I doing here? And is this in alignment with what I am made for? And I don't think those things are at odds. We're made to be in the world. Mm-hmm. But we can only fully become alive in the world and baptize the world and bring the world to Christ if we are in relationship with him first. That's the primary, most important thing. And we can't allow anything to get in the way of that. That's a short answer I'd throw out there.
No, I think that's a great answer too, because I think the struggle with a lot of men is that what society is trying to make them to be, and like you mentioned, who they are supposed to be in the way God wants them to be. And that struggle is present, you know, in our society for obvious reasons, right? But you bring up a good point that if your alignment is not right with God, you have to change it in order to get right. Do you see amongst young people today on the university campus, just talking to groups and everything, do you see they see through the lies that they've been fed, or do they come to you with saying, I need a different way, a different perspective of going about my life?
Yeah, Ron, I love that. What I've seen is there's two camps, and we tend to get most guys in the first camp, but we get some guys in the second. I would say camp one is a bunch of young men that realize things are not right in here, basically in my heart. Things are not right. I know they're not right. I can feel it. I want to change. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. Or I want to change. I'm not able to, because I'm a slave to so many cravings, addictions, and vices. Mm-hmm. I can't do the good I know I should do, like St. Paul says. Then there's the second camp of guys. They're so deep in it, they don't even realize there's a problem. They might have some vague inkling, but it's been so drowned out by, you know, their phones. Video games are huge. Television, any kind of distraction, they submitted to it and given themselves over to the distraction so hard, it's almost numbed their sensibility to the state they're in. But let me just finish with this. Mm-hmm. What I have noticed with them, and it's the same with all of us, I mean, we're all humans and none of us are that original. When the pain of our circumstances the pain of our circumstances exceeds our fear of change, mm-hmm. we break out, and then we're willing to do anything. When the pain gets strong enough, when it starts to hurt enough, they come looking, but it takes longer.
Yeah. Mm. And this is analogous to what you went through on your run through, right? You went through a lot of pain, and that pain actually caused you to strive for something greater. You didn't give up. You reached out for help. You called the other guy who ran across America, and you got inspiration. You went into the depth of your soul, and you found a way to work through it and then get to the other side. And I think that is a great metaphor for life. And we could all take that from your run and what you went through and apply that to our individual lives as well. Well, Jonathan Kuplek has been our guest. What a feat, folks. Running across America, 35 miles a day on average for 3 months. He talked about his pain, his joys, his sufferings. But he's also reaching out to young people and to groups and, you know, telling them that there's something far greater for their lives. And that's a relationship with God. And he's definitely trying to communicate that in his work with Sebast. If you want to know more about Sebast, just go to sebast.org. That's SEBASTE.org. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time. I do appreciate it. And all best wishes to you on your future runs. They might be a little lower mileage, but great. And I wish you all the best with your work with Sebast as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can like us on Facebook and hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Jonathan Kuplek, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.